Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 77, and I am talking to Ellie Holcomb. First, this talk is one of my all-time favorites. I am a gigantic super fangirl of Ellie, but also there is so much truth in this conversation. I can promise you that you're going to find something amazing. Ellie is such a delight, and her authenticity and her struggles and the truth in all of her words are refreshing, and they help to embolden us in our everyday life while we're singing in the car or in the kitchen, in my case. What I love so much about the album she just released is that it was written in the middle of her grief, which makes it remarkably applicable to all of our personal messy places. In this chat, we cover things like the benefits and costs of being part of the music industry. We talk about when you swear that you won't do something, but God has other plans, and how sometimes our identities are based on the things we do, but that it's so important to find our first identity in Christ. Before we get going, though, I am very pleased to announce the sponsor of this episode is Jelly Telly. Tell me that you've heard of them. If you haven't, let's fix that right now. So at the Thomas House, we really don't watch a lot of TV. My poor kids. There's just so much of it that's junk, and then they repeat stuff they shouldn't repeat, and we just don't do it. But they know that if they ask to watch Jelly Telly, it's almost always a yes. We have had a subscription to Jelly Telly since it started a couple years ago. And what it is, it's a streaming video app that you can get on your phone or your iPad or your television. And it's designed specifically for kids. It's Bible-based and really entertaining. What I love about it is if they repeat what they hear on Jelly Telly, good. Because it makes me look like I'm doing an amazing job as a parent. So there you go. Just a little mom hack for you. They have included a coupon code for you for a free month, but I'm waiting till the end to tell you about it. So you're just gonna have to listen to the whole thing, but you're gonna want to anyhow. Let's go ahead and get started with my chat with Ellie Holcomb. Hey.
Hey.
So, okay, listen, I am so excited to talk to you today.
You are so precious.
It's like when a dog chases a car. Like, I really wanted to interview you, but then when it's actually happening, I'm like, oh, no, no. You know, I get so nervous. So
Be nervous. I'm really excited to talk to you as well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. Just kidding.
You are. I was reading your thing. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, okay. So because I'm kind of blinded by fear right now, I wanted to ask you some questions to calm myself down. So do you ever get nervous when you're about to go on stage anymore, or are you over that?
Oh, no. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, almost. I'm trying to think. Probably almost in some way, almost always. There's like some excitement to that as well. Right. More excitement now than when I first started doing this. I used to just be really terrified.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what is the worst, like, if you've ever had like a major disaster?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure I've had lots of them. What's major?
I don't know. Like, have you ever fallen off the stage or,
never fallen off the stage. Okay. That would be really bad. I've like forgotten lyrics before, like to the point of like, I really legitimately had to ask people in the audience. I'm like, does anyone know this song?
This song that I wrote.
This song that I wrote that I, for some reason, cannot remember.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, that stuff happens literally all the time. Okay. And I just have to go, you know what? Usually what I say on stage is, who says it's about being perfect? Not the Lord.
So good. I love that. Such a good reminder. So did you always want to be a singer when you grew up?
I didn't. I really didn't. I grew up in a house where my dad is actually a producer. So grew up in like studios in Nashville. So like
perfect.
I remember I went to the career fair in high school and I was like, what? There are jobs where you go to work at the same time every day, same place. Like he was a producer. It still is. And he produced my record, which is really sweet. And then my mom is like mom of five. So it was always a little crazy at our house. And then also like a photographer. So like super creative.
Very, yeah.
So but it's so funny because I was not enamored with music or that lifestyle at all. Okay. I saw like as a little kid, like if you do music, that means that you have to leave home all the time. Yeah. And that sucks. So, or sorry, I don't know if I can say sucks.
Please say sucks. I'll say it too. Sucks.
So my dad would say now, like if he was on this podcast with us, he loved his work. So I saw that music had like a great ability to like really transform and encourage people's souls.
Yes.
So I knew that from a young age, but I also knew that there was a cost to that. And if dad was on this conversation with us, he would say that he was a work addict. Like he was so passionate about his job. So he was gone. Like he missed a lot of my childhood.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't on the road, he was in the studio. So I just kind of was like, I do not want to do that. So I swore that I would never marry a musician.
Okay.
I swore that I would never do music, and the Lord has a sense of humor.
There you go.
Swore that I would not marry my best guy friend in college, and I ended up marrying my best guy friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Who convinced me to quit my teaching job to join his band.
Oh, my goodness. That's hysterical. Wow. So, okay, I did want to ask, like, how do you balance that then with a family and you travel? Like, I looked at your tour schedule. You're about to be on an Alaskan cruise. I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible.
I know. Someone's got to do it for the Lord.
Appreciate your sacrifice.
God. I'm so excited about that. Actually, my husband's whole family is coming.
Oh my God.
On that. His parents just celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Lovely.
So they're actually, we bought tickets for his whole family. We're all going to be on that cruise together, which is so fun.
That is awesome.
But that is, cruising is not my main toy gig.
That's true. So it's a life goal though, I'm sure.
It's a life goal, yeah.
So what do you do? Like, do you have to say no to a lot of things? Or how does that work with... Because you have two kids?
Two kiddos, yeah. Okay. I've got Emmy Lou, who's 4, and then Huck, who is 1.5, and she calls him Huck-a-love, which is really good.
Adorable. I love that.
So my husband is in a band. I toured with him for 8 years. We took our daughter. The first year of her life was spent on the road.
Okay. Like
that was crazy. Crazy and wonderful, but she really, by 6 months, she'd been to 32 states in Canada.
Oh my goodness.
And then by a year, most of those 32 states again. So it was a crazy first year of her life. And I actually quit my husband's band to be a stay-at-home mom is sort of what I thought. Like, I was like, I just need to get this little kid out of a car seat for 7 hours a day.
That is a long time to be in a car seat, yeah.
It's a lot. It was a lot. So that was a big leap of faith for us, for me to kind of leave my husband's van.
Was it hard?
Oh, absolutely.
Did it do like identity stuff, or were you at peace with it? I know a lot of my listeners, when they leave work or leave work to the same capacity that they were before being a mom, it's...
Right.
Kind of messes with your head.
Oh man, it totally does. And for some reason, I guess there's a part of us that like finds our identity in whatever we're doing. And I guess that could really be whatever job you have, or even like in being a stay-at-home mom, you're like, that is all I am.
It's
like, wait, hold on. Wait, who are we really? We're daughters of God. And that's our first identity. So I had done a lot of like soul searching and working on where I found my worth, really like in my work already. And so it was really, really hard just because my husband and I were used to being together all the time. And then all of a sudden we weren't. And so that was an adjustment, although it was kind of nice to miss each other.
Yeah.
So like, oh, hey, I miss you. I don't know what that has felt like.
Yes, I stay at home and my husband works from home and we homeschool. So like we are all here all the time.
You are all. Yeah. So if you're ever away from each other, like, oh,
we can have a phone call. It's so cool.
This is so cool. It's interesting. I've talked with a lot of my friends, like whatever kid it was that they ended up needing to leave work or deciding to leave work and stay home, that was the hardest transition. Okay. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Like just that there is something that, I don't know, I guess you feel like you're using a set of gifts that you don't always get to use mm-hmm. when you're at home with the kids. So
you meant to stay home and then you ended up doing a solo thing.
Yeah.
Was that on accident or what?
Yeah,
what
I always say I accidentally started another music career. Okay. You know what's interesting? It actually felt like the scariest thing to me. I think the lie that I believe about doing this work, probably the biggest lie that the enemy says to me is if you go out and you sing these songs and if you start this other deal that it seems like God is kind of asking you to do, mm-hmm. I will destroy your family.
Oh man, gosh.
And that is like, you know, I mean, as a mama, that's my biggest fear, you know? Yeah. And so when the opportunity kind of presented itself, I was writing all these songs out of scripture, mm-hmm. really in an effort to, I started memorizing scripture with a friend of mine who battles depression.
Okay.
About 7 years ago, and I had not done that since like elementary school and Sunday school, mm-hmm. and it's changing my life. God's word is alive and it's active, and we were like, oh my goodness, God isn't lying when he says
exactly. that
like, just like the rains that come down to the earth and don't return to the heavens without nourishing the earth.
Refreshment, so yeah.
That goes out from my mouth, it will accomplish the purposes for which I've sent it. And so okay. I was seeing God's word like change us, not necessarily our circumstances, but give us like some solid ground to stand on, an anchor when the shame storms rolled in.
Yes.
And that was powerful. And in the same breath, I was terrible at memorizing scripture. So I started writing it into songs because I can remember like 1,000 songs
yes.
easily.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
Really new under the sun. Other people have done that before, but it was helping me hold on to what God says is true. And so in the same season, I was in counseling. Praise the Lord for counseling.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
I was finding out that where there's truth, there's freedom. And I had grown up in the church and just had a misunderstanding of what the gospel was. I thought it was just me trying to be good enough and love God and love other people enough. Be the best mom, be the best musician, be the best wife.
Yeah.
Never, you know, I just didn't know it was okay to not be okay. And saw like Jesus just started. I mean, that's the invitation. It was from my counselor, but it's from Jesus himself that where there's truth, there's freedom.
Yes.
And we can, when we, even though it's really hard to like own our own story and to own our own brokenness, it's a lot harder to spend our lives running from it.
Yes, absolutely.
So the power of like God's mercy intervening with all of my broken pieces was like kind of rocking my world and freeing me up and changing my relationships in a way. So I kind of felt like God was saying, would you be willing to go sing my word in front of people and then like also be a mess in front of them and be really in that? And I was like, Lord, I quit this band to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, this is my priority. This is what I feel like I'm supposed to do right now. Why can't you get on the same page? Why are you asking me to do this? This is so scary. So it literally like leaving and kind of deciding, we did a Kickstarter campaign, which is why I say I accidentally started a music career.
Okay.
Because I had literally never played a show. I was planning on recording a record, releasing it, and then being a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And by the end of that Kickstarter campaign, it just kind of went crazy. And by the end of it, I had like 28 shows to play, like house shows.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't even know how to play all my songs on guitar.
I don't know the words.
So it literally was a fear. It was really scary to kind of leave what I had in my mind as this season of me being a stay-at-home mom and step into what it seemed like God was kind of calling me to do. It felt like stepping off of a cliff.
Mm-hmm. I love that because there's so many, I know moms who, it doesn't matter where you are, you stay home or you go to work, there's a tension of, what about that other place? You know? And so I think so much freedom to go, I wanted to stay home, but God said to do this other thing. And it does not mean I'm a bad mom. It does not mean I'm destroying my family. It does not mean that I'm like seeking my own fame or, you know, whatever it looks
right.
like for us. I think a lot of moms who work feel bad. So.
Oh. Mom guilt is real.
Pervasive. Yes, absolutely.
It is. It's interesting. My husband is an amazing man, and I love watching him be a dad. And I mean, it is so, that's my least favorite part about doing this work that I do is I have to leave home probably about 8 days a month, sometimes more, but that's usually about it. And, which feels like a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one thing, you know, if my 4-year-old is like, I don't want you guys to leave, or, you know, she's sad. It is so sweet to hear my husband kind of address that. 'Cause he's like, hey, listen, your mom and I are doing the work. God has given all of us good works to do, yeah, and called us each to our own adventure. And so your mom and I are doing the things that God's calling us to do. And the reason that we're doing that, the reason that we're going and we're saying yes, is because one day God is going to have adventures for you and good things for you and for your little brother Huck to do. And we're going now and doing those things because we want you to go when God calls you to go.
And we'll watch your kids.
And we'll watch your kids.
So, yeah. So good. Okay, so I have to tell you a couple things, just because I know you know that what you're doing makes a difference. But I was sitting next to a girl that I did not know at IF this year, and she lost her precious full-term baby a couple days after she delivered, and it was a couple months ago. And she had never heard your music, and when you sang Red Sea Road, she was just like, that is everything that I'm feeling. And she had just told me the night before, like, I've been down, which totally makes sense. I'm at a place though where I realize I need to stand up and believe what I know is true. Like, I'm in that, like, getting up place. And then I just know that song was so powerful. So I just, as an encouragement, it makes such a difference. And I love that your words are just, they're scripture. And so they're not just to feel good or to will yourself into happiness, like you are literally standing on truth, right? And my kids sing them, and I just love it. But actually, I've been so nervous that I won't let anybody listen to your stuff all week. I'm like, I can't. This is making me too nervous. I can't hear her. There's been a moratorium on Ellie Holcomb in the Thomas House. So I'm looking forward to lifting that ban after this is over. But I do have to say, like, I knew when I listened to Red Sea Road, something happened with this girl. Like, you have been through the fire. Not that the other stuff wasn't fantastic, but there was a heaviness, but also a beauty to this album. Mm-hmm. So will you talk about kind of what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story. It's so sweet to hear that, because really the music that I write, whenever I write, I am literally just writing the truth that I need to hear, that I need to sing to my own soul. And so I always say I'm a really selfish writer. I'm literally like, God, I just need, it's just like a cathartic, it's almost like prayer for me. And
because of that, it's like prayer for your listeners too. That's why it's so amazing.
It's so sweet. And I think there's something about music that connects her stories that I have always loved. And so it's so sweet to hear her story, because a lot of what I was walking through and what we were walking through in our community, where this record was born out of suffering and loss and heartache. And it's just crazy that you share that story. But from everything, dear, dear friends of ours lost their baby boy about 2 days after he was born.
Oh my gosh.
Other friends, infertility for a really long time, and were a private adoption situation was brought to them. They felt like that was God's answer to a lot of years of heartache. And then that baby was tragically lost at 29 weeks.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
When she was packing, this is my friend Sarah Gilmore, her blog, Wondering and Wandering. It is, if you want to read that story, it is a powerful journey that she has written, bravely written her way through. But she says that she was packing up this box of things that people had given to their boy, to Judah. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, it just felt like packing up this box of like broken dreams.
Dreams, yeah.
There was this little pair of shoes that when she and her husband were walking through infertility, that somebody had given them, and it had this precious little pair of shoes with this note attached that said, sometimes it takes a community to see a promise fulfilled. We're aching with you and we're hoping with you.
Wow.
And so she was setting that little pair of shoes on top of the box of broken dreams. You know, this is the last thing that she put on top of the box. And she felt like God spoke to her and he said, those shoes are for hope. And I didn't tell you to pack your hope away.
Wow.
And she really bravely just like through tears just made kind of the brave choice to like take the shoes back out of the box. And that's where that line comes
from. We won't bury our hope.
We won't bury our hope. Yeah. And there is this sense that we don't have to bury our hope because hope himself was already buried for us. And then he walked up out of that grave. So this record was really written out of experiencing Jesus as this man of sorrows, just well acquainted with grief. And who really anything that we've ever faced, he's been there already. And then he's overcome it.
Yeah.
And so we have, even in our deepest moments of sorrow, that, you know, the kind of sorrow that you're just like, God, how, what? And this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It feels like pointless and cruel and too much.
Because we know he's a good father, but we're like, this is not good.
This isn't good.
We know this, you allowed this. What's happening?
This isn't good. What in the world? And I was watching God draw near to our breaking hearts. And I was watching God give us a reason to press on and make a way for us to carry on when it just didn't feel like we could anymore. Mm-hmm. And so these songs were written really in the middle of a lot of grief, not on the other end. Like, you know
that.
What I'm saying? Like, yes. It wasn't like all these stories are wrapped up and we have all the answers. It's like, nope, we don't. I don't have answers.
That's what's so powerful about it. Because most of us, we're all in the middle of not having answers about something.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But I think I felt kind of like the story that you just told of that woman, which is just so sweet to hear. I felt when I wrote the song Red Sea Road, I was sharing with a couple of dear friends, and just it's so sweet to co-write with friends, yes. Soul sisters, you know, yes. You're like, oh. So I was catching them up on our year, and I felt really confronted with a choice that night. Like, we have the choice to despair.
Absolutely.
You know, and it feels, I feel like doing that some days, honestly, I do. But we also have this choice to hope, and our hope is grounded in an empty grave. And so that night I was choosing hope, and I was needing to sing the reason for hope to my own soul.
Yes. Yeah. So, what have you learned about God's character through it? Because there's so many facets to God that as we go through things, we can go, oh my gosh, Lord, I didn't realize how faithful you were or how good, or you know what I mean? So like, what to you seems to be like the theme of that God's teaching you about himself through this?
Yeah, that he is faithful. I mean, faithful is really the word that I would say, and the character attribute that I've seen. And I really can say that from a place of authority, like more than I could 2 years ago. Like, because I'm like, oh yeah, this does not make sense. And this is totally upside down. But somehow in the middle of like the deepest grief that I've known, I've also known your nearness. And I've also known your presence and your faithfulness in a way that I didn't know that you would show up in the middle of that. And then this idea that he suffered too, you know, like God lost his son too.
Yeah.
So that we would know that all is not lost.
Yeah.
And that one day there's a better resurrection coming. There's like a better end to this story where we're going to get all these things that we've lost back.
Yes.
So just this idea that he's faithful and that this suffering or this loss that we're experiencing isn't the end of the story has been a really beautiful thing to know. It's not just like to hope for. It's like, yeah, I know that this is true.
I know it with experience. Yeah.
With experience. Yeah. So, and it's been funny because I feel like, you know, even though God's been teaching me those things, it's like again and again, like we've walked through 2 years with friends, fill in the blank, divorce, losing children, depression, people checking into rehab from addiction. So we've walked through a lot. Like, it's been a really heavy 2 years. So God's teaching me all these things. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm writing these. I'm singing these. You're faithful. You're faithful. And then in the middle of recording this record, my dad got diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah,
my mom lost her mom. And so it literally, it's like the Lord is like, I've been good. I've been good. And here I'm going to show you that I'm good again. Yeah. Like, lest you forget, here I am drawing near to you again. And then the record's done and it's about to release. And this past December, my husband got really sick, was in the emergency room, had no idea what was wrong. And here the Lord was. He's like, do you remember? Don't forget. This is who I am drawing.
Wow, yeah. Was it so helpful to have walked through it with other people first before it kind of visited your own house?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why I wanted to write these songs, is like, I don't want to forget, Lord. I do not want to forget that you are who you say you are. You're faithful. Yeah.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Probably Find You Here, which is the first track. But that I wrote that song, mom and dad, a week after they got the call from the doctor, which nobody's ever ready for. Like,
no.
And they sent out the text, you know, just like hits you in the gut. The week after they got the cancer diagnosis, my mom, it was her birthday, and this was a year ago, January 18th. She wanted to have a praise and worship night. And I'm like, okay, you guys are crazy.
After the diagnosis?
Yeah, after the diagnosis, like the way that was their response to that diagnosis. And I had the privilege of watching them. In the face of all the unknowns, all the questions, especially right after you get a diagnosis, you have no idea what this journey is going to entail. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty bleak ahead. And I watch them just run into all of those unknowns and into all of that darkness with their hands raised in the air, praising God.
Wow.
I was like, this is the most unnatural, crazy response. Mm-hmm. ever. And yet it felt so irresistible not to just follow them. And we encountered, really as a family and a community, the peace and the presence of God in a way that night and throughout this whole journey that will mark me for the rest of my life. And so I wrote Find You Here kind of in the wake, like about a week after that happened, 2 weeks after the diagnosis, a week after that night, watching my parents run into the darkness, praising God anyway. And I guess it was just this, I was so impacted by this posture of hope that my parents took. Not a hope that just ignored, like, he doesn't have cancer, that's not real. Like, no, it was like a posture of hope that looked dead, like suffering dead in the eyes, and says, we see you, but we know because of what Jesus did on the cross that this isn't the end of the story.
Yeah.
And there's healing ahead for sure, whether it's that side of glory or the next. We know the end of the story. So I wrote that out of that song comes out of that promise in Philippians 4:4-7.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Yeah. Like, I love that promise of God. At the end of the, you know, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near.
The Lord
Don't
is near.
Don't worry about anything. The Lord is near. And so that command has felt hard. Rejoice in the Lord always? Like, really? In the middle of this? This is where it feels like a sacrifice of praise. You're just going, I'm supposed to praise you in the middle of this.
Like, did someone write that on a really good day and they weren't, like, considering this day?
That's right. And I love that the promise is the Lord is near. You can rejoice because the Lord is near. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but at everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and that peace of God that surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And
I love that because I didn't know the part, because I know that do not be anxious about anything, and it's, I tend to be very task-oriented and a lot of striving, and I'm type A. And so the Lord is near. I never had added that part. And so it felt like a super try really hard not to be anxious about anything.
Right.
But the Lord is near. Yeah. And so you don't have to, like, God is right here. You don't have to be anxious.
That's right.
Ooh. Changed everything. Yeah.
There's a line in the song that somebody on some interview that I did was like, I really feel like this is the theme of your record. And I was like, what is it? He was like, it's the line from Find You Here. The only thing that we can see is darkness up ahead, but you're asking us to lay our worry down and sing a song instead. And I was like, yeah, that's
finding the theme.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he's trying to teach me how to do, is set the worry aside and sing a song of his faithfulness.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I started the show, is because I was trying to wait until being a mom wasn't hard before I sung about how great God was. Whoops. That only took me like 6 years to realize I'm kind of slow.
Wait. Yeah, this is never going to not be hard, probably.
Yeah. What I love that you said was that, because we all want to model good things for our kids, and when we've had a really bad day or really bad season, we feel like we've messed it up. Like, it's beyond, hope or whatever. And that's, it's not beyond hope, but that's a lie that we believe, I think. And so for you to say your parents, you know, you're a grown up, right? And your parents modeled something for you that you was so irresistible, you could not help but follow them as an adult. Like, that brings so much hope to me that I haven't messed up my kids forever. I could model something today.
Oh, that would change them. No, that's, you know what? It's been a really like redemptive thing in so many ways. And that's what God does, right? Yeah. But Dad would say the biggest thing, because God really turned his heart towards home. So like, I'm the oldest of five and the youngest three grew up in a like really just, he was around because he was like, yeah. What? God got a hold. Well, and my mom got a hold of him. Listen, buddy,
this is over.
We're doing this home thing. You're welcome here, You should start showing up. You know, yeah. He says it has been such a gift as a parent now for me to watch he and my mom really say one of the best things that we can offer you as our kids, besides the Lord, you know, yeah. And God's love. And that story is repentance. Like, we did not do this thing right. And so my dad, especially, I mean, my mom too, but Dad, because he was sort of the one that was like away, and Mom was always like in the trenches with us. Mm-hmm. Dad's heart, I mean, his whole life changed. And he came to all of us and was like, I need you to forgive me. I haven't been around. I haven't done this right. And I'm so sorry. And man, what a freeing thing for me now as a mom.
I love that.
To know, like, okay, I do not, this mom thing is not about me doing it perfectly for the love. Like, I get, thank God, like, repent and say, you know what, babes, mom had a terrible attitude about that. And I lost my temper with you and I was not patient and I need you to forgive me. Like, I didn't do that right. So it is like freed me up in a way.
So good.
I'm so relieved about.
Yeah. I love that repentance can, it just literally restores. It's not a Band-Aid. Like, it's fixed.
Yeah. And then, like, it frees them up to go, I don't have to get this all right. Do this perfectly. Like, there's something so transformative and, like, regenerative to your soul when you're like, yeah, I just screwed that up. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so we are almost out of time. I wanted to ask you one more question I like to end the show with. What is something, and it can be ridiculous, like a chapstick or an ice cream, that you just can't stop talking about right now? You tell everybody.
Oh, I love that. Probably so funny because this is not chapstick or ice cream, but it would probably be either a book or a song.
Okay.
So I've been reading this author named Brené Brown. She's amazing. A little rough around the edges. Like, so just
yeah.
Content.
Yeah.
There's some cussing in her books, but she is this, she researches shame and the effects of shame on people. And she calls herself a researcher storyteller. So her book, Rising Strong, and then The Gifts of Imperfection are amazing.
I know. My husband and I always say, the story I'm telling myself, life-changing.
What amazing language. I'm so grateful for her. So talking about her a lot these days. And then there's a song called Too Good by this newer artist named Jess Ray. She opened up for me at City Winery, my CD release show. And man, her record Sentimental Creatures is like, it is so good.
I am writing that down.
I can't stop listening to it. It's so good. It is so good. So
I love that.
The line is, he may be too good to be understood, but he's not too good to be true.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. That is so good. You can take that one to the bank. I love it. Yay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think we are done. Thank you so much. It's been a serious pleasure.
It has been my joy to get to hang out with you this morning.
Awesome. I have to take a picture because I'm such a fangirl. So
I love it. And I love that y'all are singing my music in your home, except for not this week.
No, not this week. Nope.
But it's a really sweet thing because we're in that season too. Whenever we have a new record, it's like, it's so sweet. I feel like there will probably be one day maybe where kids don't want to listen to our music.
Yes, but right now,
I'm just going to enjoy it.
So funny. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yay, we'll talk to you later. So bye.
Okay. Bye.
I told you it was good. I hate to say I told you so, but I totally told you so. Something I wrote down that she said was, who says it's about being perfect? Not the Lord. I love that because I really struggle with wanting to be,
get everything just right and be perfect, and it's not real life. Before we get on to our strategies to struggle well, I wanted to remind you to head to jellytelly.com. It's in the show notes as well of this episode, and enter the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, to get a free month to try Jelly Telly out. I love that I can give my kids a remote because they love holding the remote, but I love holding the remote. We all may have some control issues, but I can give the kids the remote when I need to do something else, like this show right now. And I know that they can't get into any trouble any place on Jelly Telly. It's all going to be enjoyable, and it's all safe for their sweet little ears and sweet little eyes. Okay, so what is your strategy to struggle well going to be this week based on all the goodness that Ellie shared? What can you choose to praise God about today? Maybe that could be how you struggle well. It was really memorable when she said that she saw her parents run into the darkness with their hands raised in the air, praising God anyway. She said it felt too irresistible to not follow them. That was really convicting to me. Are you making Christ irresistible to your kids, to your coworkers, to your spouse? Maybe you can spend some time thinking about how to do that more. She mentioned looking suffering dead in the eyes and saying, "We see you, but we know the end of the story." So what suffering do you need to quit avoiding, but to look square in the face today and sing a song in your heart instead of worrying? Maybe this week your strategy to struggle well can be apologizing to your kids for something that you did wrong, or just that you've been headed in the wrong direction. It is so valuable. There's so much freedom and restoration available for us if we just let our kids know that we do not have it all together, because they already know that we don't have it together, sadly. It made me think of something my husband told me this morning. He said, "Yeah, when you come in from the store or something with the kids and you're not maybe in the best mood." I could tell he was really kind of measuring his words because he's wise like that. Anyway, he said, "The dog gets up and comes over to where I am and sits by me." So the dog knows that I don't have it together. So certainly my kids know. I might as well just apologize, right? No matter what other strategy to struggle well, I would really recommend getting Ellie's album because it's fantastic. My very favorite song is "He Will," and my kids know it back and forth, and everybody just jams out to that song at the Thomas House. I was actually seriously considering going ahead and singing it for you right now, but then I thought, that might be embarrassing. Ellie's like, "Oh, I wish I could be as good as Emily." And I don't want to do that to one of my guests. You know what I mean? So I'm going to let her be the one that sings it, and I'll just use my talking voice. So please remember to find me on Instagram, Mom Struggling Well, and tell me your favorite parts of this show. And join us for Struggle Well Wednesday on Wednesday night, where we talk about our weeks. But I did forget this last week because I forgot it was Wednesday, so I'm not proud of that, but I will really try to focus on what day of the week it is this week and not miss it again. And remember, before you buy all the things you're about to buy on Amazon, go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon and use the show's affiliate link. It doesn't cost you any extra, but the show gets a couple pennies from your purchase from Mr. Amazon, whoever he may be. That's all I've got, you guys. I hope you loved it. And I'm praying that you have a great week of struggling well.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.